Many of you know my grandmother, and I decided to interview her today for my sermon because I believe her story is a wonderful story, and it's a story I believe that will affect a lot of you. So I'm very proud of my grandmother. It seems like you're always proud of your grandkids, but I'm proud of my grandmother, you know. So she's Josephine Hernandez. Well, I think it's very important to me to learn the stories of those that have gone on before you, those that have experienced in life. And I think we as a culture, we miss out on the tremendous gems that are found in our elderly people, and specifically those that have walked with Christ for many years. There are great stories, and I'd like to interview my grandmother this morning and share with you her story. So we're going to go through her life, and you will see how God has blessed her. Grandma, when and where were you born?
In Visalia, 1916.
Visalia, California. She's a native of California. What were some of your earliest memories? You actually went through the Great Depression in the 1930s.
Yes.
What was that like?
Now to look back at it, I think it's more wonderful than now. I'll tell you why afterwards. The reason is, when I look back now, and then when during the Depression, as my grandchildren would all say, Grandma, tell me about the Dark Ages. I says, okay. Then when I go into telling them the story about how I lived through the Dark Ages, but... When I see now the change in the world, I've seen quite a bit of change, and I've seen the change, how they want to take God out of everything. And then I look back at the Depression. We thought it was terrible during the Depression because there was hardly nothing, but yet there was love among the people, the neighbors. Everybody had their victory gardens, and they shared with everybody. We didn't have no TV, nothing enough to distract us kids. We sat on the front. Hi, everybody. We talked to our neighbors, sit with everybody in the front yard and talked and shared everything with one another because everybody was going through the same thing, so we loved one another. And I don't see that love no more. Now we see the neighbors. Hi, that's all we know. We don't even know them. And that's sad when you look at it because love has been lost. That's the reason why I look back. I says, I like the Dark Ages better than I do now, but what they're doing to my Lord.
So were you raised in a Christian home?
No.
What were some of your early experiences with God? What was that like?
Well, I used to go on Easter or Christmas. That's about all. And then carouse the rest of the year.
Did your family attend church at all?
Or was No. Nope, no one. But they tried to send us. But we didn't care because I believe, I'm going ahead of my story, I believe that parents should be an example. And if they're not examples, well, if they don't go, why should I go?
So that was it. Should I take off my belt and leave it in your hand? It looks like you're going to give some whippings to some folks here. My goodness. Okay, so you were raised as a teenager. You went through the Depression in the 1930s. You got married at a young age. Why did you get married?
Reason why that, because we worked, I was the oldest one of six in the family. My father was an alcoholic. And it was terrible, and I didn't like that kind of life. And especially going out and working, being I was the oldest one. So everything was, I was my dad's partner working out. I've done it in the valley, you name it. Cotton. Oranges with citrus, I mean prunes, grapes, I mean I did everything. And I was my dad's right hand. And since there was no, they didn't exert you about going to school. So it was all right if I missed school because I was helping to bring the food into the family. So I tell my grandchildren, I work for 50 cents a day for 8 or 9 hours. What, Grandma? I says, yes, I work for 50 cents a day. My dad made 50 cents. I made 50 cents a day. We made a dollar. We lived. Everything was just food on the table. That's all that mattered.
So you were 18?
I was 18.
And what happened?
And I didn't like that life. I thought there was something more to life. I said, I want to get out of here. So what happened was I met someone, and the first person that asked me, would you marry me? I said, oh, this is my way out. Okay, young people, remember this. Here it goes. You think that you have it rough in your home. Well, I jumped from the frying pan into the fire. 3 years, and I had a child during my 3 years of marriage. Then he got a divorce. There was no life. But I mean, young people, There's nothing like being home with your loved ones at home. And you think you're going to have it better out there, you better be sure and know that God has directed you to the right person. Okay.
So your first marriage wasn't a good one. What was that like? Give me a brief description of what that was like.
Do you really want to know?
In a nutshell, give it to me.
Well, he beat me up. Of course, I didn't want to let... I wanted to fight back. But any woman can think that they can fight back against a man. Something's wrong. Because they cannot beat you up. What can you say? And I tried it, but it didn't work. So I just took it all in for 3 years. And then one day he said, you know what? I want to go to school. You want to go back home? Here I was at my age, at my teenage. I wanted to get away from home. Now I was glad to go home. And he said, you go home and I'll send you some money. And you go and stay with your parents. I says, okay. So I took my baby, was only 3 years old. My son was only 3 years old. I says, okay. Well, that was it. I start working. I bought me some clothes and start dancing and hooping it up. And he was way over there and I was way over here. So then finally he says, oh, he wanted a divorce. So that was it.
So at a young age, you found yourself divorced, a single parent, and you lived your life there. Did you ever think that you would marry again?
No, I didn't want to get married again. I thought that was it for me. I said, I didn't never want to get married again because I says, if that's marriage, I don't want no part of it.
But your story doesn't say that.
That's right.
So you met someone else, which would be my grandfather.
Oh, yes.
Was Mike. Tell me how you met him and what was the circumstance.
At the dance, as usual, you girls going out dancing all the time and carousing, well, you meet somebody. So... So he was dancing with me, and we fell in love with each other. I mean, he was from a poor family, and I was from a poor family. He wanted to advance himself. He wanted to get big, and every work and everything, and make a home and everything else. So that was what I wanted. So I says, and then he told me, I will love your child. I says, I'm married. He wasn't married. So he says, I'll take care of him. He'll be my son. I says, okay. I believed him, so we got married.
Got married. And those seemed like some good times, and that was in the 1940s, but something happened after you got married. What happened?
Oh, we was newly married, and I was in cloud nine. And then what happened? Uncle Sam drafted my husband into the service. And, oh, I cried bitter tears. I said, oh, that can't be... That can't be. I'm happy now. And Uncle Sam's the boss. So there he goes into the service. I started looking for God then. I says, God, don't take my husband. Well, he's already drafted. He has to go. I says, okay, Lord, but if you take him, just keep him here. Because I could go visit him. I used to go visit him when he was in the service. I'd go visit him at camps. And I said, don't take him overseas where the battle is, where he has to fight. Lord, Lord, Lord. And at that time, missionaries were coming around the house. And those missionaries came over to the house and invited my mother. My mother liked the gospel, but she liked to go dancing with us too. So she could never make up her mind to serve the Lord. But she loved the gospel. So she says, let's go to the prayer meeting. And by that time, I was looking for God. I says, God, where are you? Where are you? So I didn't know how to look for God. I didn't know nothing about the Lord. So I went to the prayer meeting. For the first time in my life, I kneeled down and I prayed. I didn't know how I was praying. I wasn't even praying. I was crying for my husband. And I was making a deal with God. I says, God, if you don't send my husband overseas to fight in all this battle, I will serve you. I will come to this church. I didn't even know what kind of church it was. I didn't know nothing. But I was making a deal with God. You do this. And I'll come to this church. That's what I was doing, a deal with God.
But what happened to my grandfather? He did serve in the military. He was in active duty. And
yes.
Something happened to him over there. What happened?
Well, during the time then, and then some other Pentecostal AGs came to the house. And my mother says, let's go. They're having a revival. I don't know if any old timers are here from Robert Fierro. I don't know if anybody knows Robert Fierro. He came and gave a month revival. And the Lord, I went, my mother said, let's go see what's happening over there. I says, okay, I went there. Oh, God. I says, is that what that black book says? How beautiful. I love it. I love it. I want that. I accepted the Lord. I went for a whole month. I went to the altar, and finally the wife of the pastor's wife says, "Didn't you give your heart to the Lord the first night?" I says, "Yes." "Well, you don't have to do that anymore." "Well, what did I know? I didn't know nothing. I was just crying out to God night after night." I said, "Lord, I don't care. You take my husband wherever you want, but you bring him back to me, Lord." And the Lord approved that for me. He says, "Yes, I will." He says, "But I'm going to tell you one thing. When he comes back, I'm going to save him, but you are going to be an example." I'll never forget those words. "You'll be an example, and I'm going to save him." I says, "Praise the Lord. Okay, you can go ahead and take him."
And he did serve an active duty.
He served, yes.
He was wounded twice.
He was, and then he was wounded.
He was wounded twice, and he came back home.
He was a veteran that they sent him back because he was wounded. And by that time I had pregnant, and I had my daughter, and he didn't know his daughter until after he got back. But he was in the service for about a year and a half. So he come back and he found me a different person. All this time I prayed for him day and night. "Lord, save him, Lord God, watch over him, take care of him. And when he comes back, he's going to find me in a whole different person." And I prayed all that time, and God granted it. And he says, I told him about it and about going to church. And he says, "Yeah, I'll go with you." He says, because he says, "I know what I went through in the war," he says. "And I saw what I saw," he says, "and I've seen everything." He says, "I'll go." Okay, so he went to church. But he wanted to feel something. He didn't just want to say, he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He wanted to feel something because at that time, I don't know if any of the old timers are here, where the Lord used to really pour out their spirit and moved and dance and praise the Lord and everything. That's where I was raised up. Anyway, he came to church and he kneeled down to pray. He never, you know, I prayed 11 years for him. And I used to cry out to God, "God, you said you was going to save him. I didn't tell you when. I told you I was going to save him, but I didn't tell you when. I told you to be an example." I says, okay, Lord. And I was raising my children all during that time. My girl was already 8 years old when she received the baptism. And then he saw her speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. And then he finally got down and he'd start praying. And all of a sudden, because every time he'd go to church with me, somebody would get around him and start praying for him. And every time we'd go home, he says, "Well, they saved me again." "What do you mean they saved me again?" "Well, I said the sinner prayer again," he said. Every time he'd go to a church, he'd say, "Well, I said the prayers again." I says, "Oh, Lord, this man." I says, "But help me, Lord God." So anyway, he was there and he accepted the Lord that day. And then I says, "Everybody leave him alone. Don't get near him. Let him." Because somebody says, "Come over here. Look at all those tears on the bench. Look at all those tears." I says, "Leave him alone. Let him pray through by himself." I said, "Don't touch him." But the Lord miraculous saved him and used him. But he only was saved 6 years. The Lord took him home. He had a massive heart attack. But in those 6 years, the Lord, he used him in such a way that was unreal. I mean, he went and bought an instrument and started playing. He was in the choir. He was a carpenter. He preached. He talked. I mean, Sunday school teacher, you name it. He was all those 6 years in service. And there I was with my children again, raising them. I'm going ahead of myself.
That's all right. We practice this, but she's going ahead. It's okay. I wanted to get to that. Well, let's go back before your husband got saved. That is an awesome story. Something, however, happened. The word that God gave to you, be an example, that word was tried and tested in your life at one time. And something happened. You felt, you know, after you got saved, you felt maybe you wanted to be used by God in some way. And the church at that time had voted you in as the president of the youth of that time. And yes. What happened with that situation?
When he was in a service.
Okay, when he was in the service. Yet. He wasn't saved yet.
Yeah, I got ahead of myself. Well, I was elected to president of the youth. I was on cloud nine. Oh, and then we had a rally every first Saturday of the month. And they even presented me to the group and the rally in the house. But then the person who ran against me wanted the place. It was a boy, a young man. He wanted that place. So he started working. The enemy started working in such a way that it was horrible. And he went to the pastor and he said, you know what? I went to the bylaws and the bylaws says that she's a divorcee and she can't be president. And they were afraid to tell me that. The pastor was afraid to tell me that he had to take me off of the position because that was his family, the boy's family was a large family and our family was large. And they was afraid that there would be a division in the church. And there I was. I cried bitterly. I says, Lord, why did you save me? Because they told me that I couldn't get up in the pulpit. I couldn't say nothing because I didn't have a testimony because I was a divorcee. I says, well, I was a divorcee when I didn't know God. But the bylaw, I don't know, went on with the bylaws and so forth and so on. And then the enemy's working underneath. And everybody was telling me, why don't you leave him? Why don't you leave your husband now and go to the first one? I says, he's been married 3-4 times already. You want me to go back to him? I said, get out of here. I left one child without a father. Now you want me to leave another one without a father. I says, no way. So I cried bitter tears. My heart was broken. I couldn't tell my family because I was afraid, being that we were all newly saved, that they say, heck, let's get out of here. This is no place for us. I never wanted my husband ever to find out what had happened to me. But it was one of my horrible experience I've ever had in my life. I felt rejected. I felt that the Lord didn't love me. But then every time that I prayed, the Lord assured me, I love you. I baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And you have it. And he'd tell me that every time I prayed. I says, okay. One time I was praying on the altar, I was praying on the seats right there. I says, this is the way it is. I love the Lord so much. And I knew what he had done, and I knew what he had taken out of my life. And I knew the direction that I wanted to go for me and my children. I says, if that's the case, my kids are not going to go through that. I went up to the pastor. I says, Pastor, I want you to pray my kids into the ministry. I want them to be pastors. Never dreamed in my life what was going to happen. And he says, okay. So I prayed. Okay, then my prayer was, Lord, give me direction, give me guidance, give me wisdom to my children because I want them to be your servants. Since I can't do nothing, because they tell me that I can't even open my mouth, I want my kids to be servants, your servants. So I'm going to do all in my power, and I need your direction, your Holy Spirit, to direct and guide me. And the Lord did that. Okay, what else? I get all mixed.
Well, I like that because that's a very powerful story. Because there is, you find out, well, church is a bunch of people and they're a bunch of imperfect people.
Yes.
And it sometimes leaves a bad flavor in your mouth when people let you down. You see the human side of people.
Yeah.
But you had choice to become bitter.
That was, I forgot.
There you go there.
Yes, the enemy start working. He says, well, they don't want you here. What are you doing here? They don't want you here. But I knew what the Lord had done for me in my life, and I knew. I says, okay, if that's the case, okay, Lord, I don't care what you do to me, but not my kids. So then the enemy start working, and I saw the people that were fighting against to take me off of the black. I'd see them on the platform, and I'd see them playing the piano. I see them singing, and there I am sitting. And, oh, the enemy would fight. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. What they did to you. What they did to you. And look, and you know their lives. And, oh, the enemy worked overtime, double time with me. And then I had to rebuke it. And I said, Lord, I can't go on this way. I have to. I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, give me love for those people. You paid it on the cross. You said you forgave those people that crucified you and all that. I says, I need for me to have forgiveness for those people that everything. I want the joy that I had before. I want the love that I had for those people before. I says, I just cried bitter tears, cried, and says, give me love for those people. And I went in there, asked forgiveness. So I didn't do it, but I even asked forgiveness. I didn't care. I wanted to have peace. Now I wanted my family to grow in the Lord. I said, I will do anything. I don't care what. I was going to do that. the Lord helped me through that time and gave, would you believe that the Lord gave me love for those people? That I felt so much love for them that I helped them and you, and every way. The Lord will do that for you if you're, if you're trustworthy and believe the word. Because it says about your enemies. It says about your enemies, about loving your enemies. And when you do that, the Lord will direct and guide you and will take all that bitterness, all that hate that you have in your heart. He will take it away because I know by experience.
I think your choice to move beyond bitterness and the faith in God has brought you a lot of blessing. And from a woman who was not allowed to speak, you're sure doing a lot of speaking. But from you, you have five pastors, from your children and grandchildren. And it's amazing that the lives that, you know, you compare what you thought you could have did as a youth leader and do all that compared to what influence you have now. It's amazing. More than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
Do you ever think back to that time and say, thank you, God, for that horrible experience?
Constantly, every day when I go to bed, I say, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you're doing in my family, because even my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are in ministry now. Every one of them are in ministry. And that's, the Lord can do that. Because I asked him, I said, I couldn't, I didn't have it. But even though later on in years, a new pastor came and he says, I want you to be our choir director, our what do you call it, the singer.
Worship leader.
I says, I can't get up on that pulpit. He says, what do you mean you can't get up on that pulpit? I says, no. I says, I can't. I never have. He says, well, it's too bad. You're going to get up there. He says, and if anybody comes to me and tells me something, he says, okay, you don't want to? You go over there and do it then. The Lord used me to be their worship here in the church.
My grandfather passed away 6 years later. He got saved, and you found yourself a single mom again, this time with two teenagers.
Oh, boy.
What were those times like, raising teenagers, single mom?
Right. When people tell me, says, well, I'm a single mom, or I have nobody. I was a single mom. I was a single mom for 11 years before my husband got saved. I says, of 11 years, I says, I was there. He was a provider, but I was a spiritual mother. I says, and after he passed away, I had to be the one to be the spiritual guidance for my children, to direct and guide them and help them in every way they could. I took that role right off. My saying was to my kids, if I do it, you can do it. If I don't do it, you cannot do it. That was my saying for my kids. And they even remember that now. I have two, my daughter and my son.
Was it easy raising these teenagers? Were they angels? Were they floated above the ground, right? Was it a little difficult?
Fred, my firstborn, Fred, both of them got saved when they were little big kids, too, and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But my daughter she was a little bratty girl.
Is that where I get it from?
during the time that I was raising my children, because in that time there was no TV, they couldn't go swimming, it was the dark ages, they couldn't wear bright colors, when jeans came out, my son couldn't wear jeans, they couldn't, movies, forget that, TV, forget it, we couldn't have a TV.
That was sin, right?
That was sin, everything was sin. So by the time my son was 13 years old, the kids that used to go to church with him at the church, well, they all disappeared. And he was the only one left. And there he was sitting in the front seat, in the back seat with his grandfather. And I cried out to God. I says, God, this is not right. I says, this is not right. Direct and guide me. What am I going to do with my son? He can't be sitting there. No friends. Baseball, basketball, everything was a sin. Couldn't even go to a park. And I says, everything with a sin. I says, that's not right, Lord. What am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? So one day, on a Sunday, I'll never forget, two girls come to the church, and they were recruiting. There was a new school, a Pentecostal church. A school was opening up in Madera, and they were recruiting kids for a Christian school. I turned around, I says, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. So I went right away, and then I asked my son, I wanted to find out what kind of a church and everything. I says, Fred, I says, would you like to go to a Christian school? He says, yes, Mom. Oh, boy, he didn't say, next day, there I go. I went, and I looked at the church. That was the last time I saw my son, because during the... But he was there all the time. He was there. Friday, school was out. Guess what? There was mother with a car ready to bring him home. I brought him home. He brought out his clothes. I washed and ironed all week, all over the weekend. He went to church with me on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. There I go. I drive 2 hours back to take him back to school. And I did that every week. I did that. But watch over my son. My son was everything to me. So then he, and after school was out, he didn't come home. Because he went on the missionary troops and preaching, because he was singing and played the steel guitar and all that. So he was already working for the Lord, going to the Lord. But when I had my daughter, the same thing happened. I says, oh, Lord, there's my daughter too, that she was giving me trouble to. These are things that happened that I know God has definitely told me what to do. I had to go to work. I had to go to work to play for the music, to play for the school and everything, My husband says, okay, go ahead. Go ahead, you can do what you want. But, I don't have that money. I said, don't worry, I'll go scrub floors. I'll do that. So I did that. And then there comes my daughter, your mother. she was a little bratty because she was her father's pet. She was 14. 16 when he passed away. But then whenever I was left alone with her, she was something else. He'd always say, what's the matter with you and your daughter? Don't you get along? I says, I got to be a little bit stronger than her. I says, because she's too much for me. So anyway, same thing happened. I didn't like the school she was going. I didn't like the kids she was hanging around.
You were
around.
Here in San Francisco by then, right?
Huh?
Were you in San Francisco by then?
San Francisco. We had moved from the valley to San Francisco. And I didn't like the school she was going to. And I says, oh, Lord, this girl is giving me problems. There I go. Lord, what am I going to do? God, what am I going to do? Lord, she's giving me problems. Lord, I don't like what's happening. Lord, help me, help me. I got down and prayed. I'll never forget it. The Lord says, send her to Watsonville, to school. I says, Lord, I've asked her before. And she's always said no. Ask her. Okay, Lord, I got up and asked her, Sandy, would you like to go to Watsonville to school? Oh, yes, Mother. There I go again. Go over there. 3 o'clock every Friday. Go pick her up. Bring her home. Stay over me the weekend. Sunday afternoon, there I go back, driving her back. I did until she graduated. But God has blessed me in a mighty way with her. God had changed her completely in the school that she was. The Lord had blessed her. So
good. I want to give a little couple as we close this, Grandma. Thank you for sharing your life. But a couple bits of advice. You were a woman who lived 11 years with a man that was unsaved. What kind of advice could you give to those that are maybe have an unsaved loved one that doesn't share their same faith with them?
Well, Marlon, all my life, I'm going to be 61 already. And all my life.
61?
Every morning.
91.
Oh, 91. Shucks, where am I? Where am I? Oh, my goodness, where am I? 91. I tell you. The doctor told me, he says, well, I wish I could be like you. He said, you're going to live to be 100. I says, doctor. He says, well, that's wonderful. Okay, doctor. He laughs. He says, but I believe that you're just not going to wake up one morning. That's all. I says, what? I said, praise the Lord. And he looked at me. But during all that time, what was the question you asked me? I keep on getting off of my subject.
What was it like, advice maybe to those living with an unsaved loved one or unsaved?
A trust in the Lord with all your heart. I mean, and put God first in your life. always. Put God first in life, and he will give you the direction and guidance completely for your children. Because there's nothing like...
How about your husband?
Huh?
Or your spouse?
What?
I'm on the spouse question here. What advice do you give to those who are living with an unsaved spouse?
Unsaved husband? Oh, forget or... that. No. No. When, I mean, your prayers, it's a main thing. God will fix everything up and help you through when you pray. And you trust in the Lord and believe in the prayer. Nothing, there's nothing like this word. This word will direct and guide you and tell you what to do and what not to do and guide you all through your life. And you will get the result and you will see. It's rough. It's not easy. Who said it was easy? Enemies around all constantly to just knock you down or trip you off, whatever. But if you trust in the Lord and trust in his word, because his word is true. And then because I don't know how to say it in English, but being I'm in Spanish, dice, secase la hierba, caese la flor, mas la palabra de Dios permanece para siempre. God's word is true. It's true, and it never fails.
That would be the grass withers, but the word of the Lord never fades.
The grass grows, and I guess it's green, but it dries up. But I don't know how to say it in Spanish and English. But anyway, you get it. But God has been faithful all the time, and I can't express more and more and more and tell you that prayer. It's your knees. It's your whether now I can't kneel down, but I pray constantly. My prayer every day. There isn't a day that I don't pray for my brats. Every one of them. I said, Lord, direct and guide them. Let your light shine on them, Lord God. Let the light that you have given them, that they can be examples, Lord God. Because when they're examples, your name is glorified. His name is glorified every time you do something good for the Lord. And if you want to glorify God, just do that. Just do what God tells you to do and guide you, and his name is glorified. Because other people outside will see you. Hey, who's that? They got something that I haven't got. And God is, I mean, he'll direct and guide you in everything. In all these years, I can say with all my heart that my prayers are for my children, Lord God. Because my prayer is that when I leave this earth, they're going to follow me. I got to have my family with me. They're my life here on earth. The Lord is my life, but here on earth, they're my children in my life, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I pray for them, and they're all in ministry, every one of them. See these little kids that are just like wiggly and moving around, his kids? It's all right. Keep on praying for them. They'll be all right during the time because God has promised it. He promises. He promises all these things. He promises that he will watch over us and take care of us. But we have to be faithful. Faithful in everything. And trust in him. Trust in his word. Believe in him. Believe with all your heart and mind. And he will do it. And what was you're not going to ask any more?
I got one more, a couple more.
Oh, gosh. What more, Marlon?
So, Grandma, you find yourself at 90.
Yes.
Served God for over 63 years.
Yes.
Do you ever feel that there's nothing left for you to do? You ever feel kind of like, oh, God, now what do I do?
That's right. I do. I feel that I can't get around much anymore. But the Lord reminds me, you can pray. You keep on praying. And every once in a while, my other grandson does the same thing. And the other grandson, I'm afraid to go visit them. Go visit them in their churches because the first thing he said, Grandma. I says, oh, God, here we go again. And that's of everything. I can talk with people out, but don't put me in front like this. That, and then my grandchild says, Grandma, you got to be ready at all time. Yes, what you tell us. Okay. So... I have to be that example for them.
A couple more questions, Grandma. What's the most important lesson you've learned in life?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and not leaning on your own understanding. That's right.
A couple more. What is God teaching you at this time in your life? What is he teaching you?
Oh God, what God is trying to still trying to teach, because my kids are always wanting me to get up and say something, and that's my problem. But getting up here and talking like this, like I can talk with people down like that, but getting up here in front like this scares me half to death. And then when they tell me, my kids tell me, I says, "Oh boy, she's not going to sleep all week." I said, "You're right, I won't." And I says, "Oh God." But I didn't know he was going to go this way, Marlon.
Well, I'm done. One more last question. We're done. We got to record this here. Last question. What are some of your favorite verses, Grandma, as we close?
Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still water. What is now? No, I'm nervous now. I can't remember now.
I saw you see your notes. Whip them out.
Yes. Oh, because that's my favorite constantly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the... He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of thy enemy. You anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely in goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever, me and my family. I always add that, me and my family. Yes, I'll be waiting for them, every one of them. That's my prayer, day in and day out. Lord, watch over them, my kids, Lord God. Direct and guide them. Let your light shine on them. That your name could be glorified. Use them in a mighty way, day in and day out. So praise the Lord.
I wanted to share that story with you because it may have touched a part in your life, some points in her life. I look at my grandma and I look at her and I just, that story that's there, you don't realize it, what's there and the things that she's gone through.
Oh yeah, there's
lots more. but I never thought of my grandma as a divorced woman, a single parent, or any of that stuff. I just always thought of her as my sweet grandmother. And she is, but those stories are stories of faith that I carry with me. They're stories of faith that I want to encourage you in your life, no matter where you find yourself at in your spiritual walk, the tough times, maybe unsaved loved one, maybe divorced, maybe a single parent. God is faithful, and you need to hear these stories, and you need to see the real life examples of what God does.
God is faithful.
And that's your testimony, and that needs to be shared.
Oh,
hold on. Hurry up. Go on.
And young people... If you think it's better life outside from being in your home, you're badly mistaken, darling. Nor ever try to leave home. Your parents are the ones that love you. The outside world is ready to grab you. But if it's the Lord that wants you get married, I mean, when you get married, you be sure you got the right one. Be sure, without a shadow of a doubt. Don't do what I did. I wanted to get around away from home, and I jumped from the frying pan into the fire. That's what I got. But girls, and then single parents, God is with you if you get his direction and guidance. He will direct you all the way with your children, especially. If you have children, it's hard. It's not easy, but you be the example. That's one thing you have to be an example, where they cannot point their finger at you and say, well, you're not going to church, or you send them like that. No, you go with them. You be there with them, and you'll see what God can do, because they might rebel once in a while, and you say, but they cannot point your finger at you. They'll always say, well, my mother did. Or else, if they can point their finger at you, well, you did it, I can do it too. No, you've been an example to them all the way, and God will bless you, and you will see the fruit of your prayers. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Grandma, for letting me interview. I appreciate your story.